The internet security threat landscape is constantly changing, and while in the background hardware and software developers are always working to ensure we stay safe online, it always is good to have someone explain it in plain English. On that note, joining me here on Tech Daily is Tim Falinski from Trend Micro Australia. G'day, Tim.
Hi, Andy.
Now, Tim, let's kick off on the topic of connected devices, or the Internet of Things, as they like to say, and how internet security is being applied in this area. We could probably speak for an hour about this, but we won't. Now, around the home, of course, there are now so many everyday objects that are connected with the internet, from your fridge to your washing machine, your light bulbs and whatever, TVs. And so what are the risks or threats here for those devices?
Well, Andy, this is a new area that is still evolving. But fundamentally, what we see here is that you're talking about a whole plethora of devices that have operating systems that are unknown. So in regards to a PC, we know that it's generally a Mac OS or a Windows OS or probably Linux, right?
Yep.
And with mobile phones, we know what they run under. But your smart TV uses its own operating system and Android apps. But what does your webcam use, your router use, your security cam and your baby monitors? And therefore, and likewise, if you want to secure those devices, how do you actually load security software to run and monitor on them? So what we're finding is that all these additional devices and these manufacturers that in a lot of ways have never thought about, well, how do I secure this device, are being placed into people's homes and are giving the cyber criminals more avenues to actually attack you and your house. So they can hack your router, but they can also potentially get access to your router through any one of these other additional devices.
Right, and like you said, of course, you can't load internet security onto many of these devices, like we might do our PCs or our tablets. But what we're seeing now is there are now some hardware solutions coming into the market, including one from Trend Micro, a little black box called Trend Micro Home Network Security. So how does that come into play? What exactly is it? What does it do?
Yeah, so what we saw, Andy, is that it's very, very hard, as I mentioned, to put security product onto these devices, just given the configuration. And likewise, in some of the testing we've done, that as you've installed them into a house, you might know you've got three PCs and three smartphones, but the average house is finding upwards of 20 connected devices, and we've even seen some houses that have got 30 up to 50 connected devices. And they come from everything from webcams to even gaming consoles. And one of the new fads in the US that's coming over to Australia now is Bluetooth-connected doorbells, so you can actually see who's at your door. And what we've done, therefore, is sort of say, how do we connect all this? So we've developed the box, the home network security. And what you do with that box is you plug it into your home router, and it will work with any home router that's in the marketplace now. And by plugging it into that home router, we can actually, therefore, remotely secure all the devices, and if any of those devices gets hacked or starts attacking your network, we can send a message to you on your smartphone via an app, and therefore you can shut down and disconnect that device from the network.
Now, this doesn't replace the need for software-based protection on your PC or your tablet or anything like that, does it?
No. So what this protection is doing is at the network level. So we're protecting the router and all the traffic flowing through the house. So if a device does get compromised, as I mentioned, you can shut it down, but the device itself is still compromised. So when you think about your computer and all the files that you have on there, the fact that you might get ransomware, that you actually do your banking online, input, output, etc., you need to actually have protection running on your notebook computer just to protect against those advanced level threats that it's a lot harder to connect to protect at the network level.
Right, I'm definitely going to have a bit more of a play with this one, but where do you go for more information especially where do you go to get one?
If you go to our website, www.trendmicro.com.au, we've actually built a little microsite that goes through a lot of the issues we see nowadays and where the cyber criminals are attacking in home network security, give you some advice of what to do with that and actually show you what our device can do. But if you'd like to see one live and actually have a talk to some people, they're available either on our website or at a Harvey Norman store where we've got them priced at $299.
Good stuff. All right, let's move on to something a bit broader, internet security in general. How did things look at the end of last year in terms of threats? I know there's always something new and various trends. Where are we at?
Well, we keep seeing things rapidly change in the way the cyber criminals are attacking us. So what we saw through 2016 is a growth in one particular category that is just become quite rampant, and that's ransomware. So what the cyber criminals have figured out is that a lot of people now store a lot of their keepsakes, be it digital photography, files, on their computers. So therefore, if they can lock those up using ransomware and encrypt them, they can actually extract money from people to pay to get them unlocked. And that's probably the biggest growth that we saw, as well as what we were just mentioning before, was these emerging threats to the smart home. We were seeing people figure out how to actually get inside your home network.
So is ransomware, it's still on the increase here in Australia?
It's on the increase everywhere. Like Trend Micro alone blocks over 650,000 ransomware attacks per day. And that's, as I said, just us. And when you look at Australia, we rank very highly on the list of those people being attacked up there. So it's one of those things that it is definitely happening. And I think people would probably would be quite surprised by how much is going on around the world in that.
Probably quite surprised about how much it's costing people as well. I believe you've got some figures around how much threats like ransomware and cybercrime is costing Australians.
It is one of those funny things. We've actually done some research, and some other people have done some research as well, but the a little bit of a problem with ransomware is not everyone reports when it happens to them, so they do that. But the current estimates that are going around at the moment that have been backed up by the Bureau of Statistics is that it costs Australians over $1.6 billion per year in ransomware-related attacks, and that's just in Australia.
How much of this activity is happening on mobile devices? Obviously, with the proliferation of the iPhone and just mobile devices in general, are rogue apps still a problem? Is it just limited to apps, or is it, you know, still dodgy links and things like that?
It's actually both, Andy. Like, rogue apps still happen to be the number one cause. And I think fundamentally, a lot of people think about internet security as your typical and the old-fashioned antivirus. And viruses aren't the problem so much on phones because of the way they operate. So you get these rogue apps, and what they're trying to do is either do something malicious to your phone and shut it down, encrypt it, or steal some information. And the other big thing that we see on mobile phones that these rogue apps are doing is doing identity theft. And what that means is that they steal your identity, they open up a bank account, a website in your name, con some people of the money, and then when the police search for that website owner, it comes back to you, and then you've got to explain that it wasn't you. So It's all those kind of little headaches that are happening. So it is a little bit different the way they're attacking the mobile phone than they're attacking the traditional PC, but it is something that is picking up a lot of momentum and something for people to be worried about.
And speaking of phones, and one myth that I think is still doing the rounds is I think perhaps some iPhone and Mac users still feel that they're immune to all of this.
Yeah, look, I've been talking about this for a little while now, but Macs are definitely not immune. I think, you know, traditionally, there wasn't a lot of viruses out there and malware for Macintosh-based users. And that was when Macs weren't as big in the marketplace. They're now quite a strong force in the marketplace. Apple has really done well with their branding and their sales. And with the volume that's out there, they are getting the viruses attacked to them. In 2015, and we haven't wrapped up our final 2016 numbers, the Mac OS operating system actually had the most number of viruses written for it. And that was more than Windows. And it's these kind of stats that I think are a little bit worrying and concerning, because a lot of people are still under the illusion that I've got a Mac, I'm okay. But in an internet-based world, it really doesn't matter what operating system you're using, you're going to get attacked. And through this, people of not caring, the cyber criminals are finding a nice, healthy feeding ground.
Right. Now, I'd imagine most users who have a bit of common sense and good internet security software would have little idea of what's happening in the background. I mean, we talk about all these threats and everything, but from Trend Micro's point of view, just how much bad stuff have you been able to sort of block from users?
Well, we mentioned one stat before, which is that we're blocking over 650,000 bits of ransomware per day. But if we take everything we block, from ransomware to malware to malicious links, social media, our blocking network blocks over 81 billion threats per year, which is quite a large number when you think about that globally. And it's just this, a lot of this happens in the background and our users aren't even aware of it, but it's the kind of things that we can do in the background, just being that passive friend of yours to make sure that what's coming through your internet connection is safe and secure.
I need more passive friends. That's great. Now, as we move towards school holidays again for Easter, have you got any quick tips you could offer parents around internet safety for kids on various devices?
Yeah, look, I'd give them three quick tips, and one of them is just watch out for emails and malicious links. They continue to be a big source of problem. It gets through a lot of filters because you've actually got to click on the link. But, you know, if you're not expecting an email from someone, just don't click on the link. Number two, remember about social media. Back in our days, it probably wasn't as big an issue, but these days people just click and they don't really read and watch what's on social media. We're avid users now of social media. But you've still got to understand that they're using this now as an avenue of attacking us. And the third tip is install a bit of internet security, because for both those kinds of threats, we can sit there in the background and just make sure we highlight bad links for you and block threats that are coming through, just in case they do get past the keeper, and therefore you've got that last line of defence.
All right. Always good tips from you, Tim. Thanks again for coming on Tech Daily.
Thanks, Andy.